to my dearest friends. I am honored to welcome you back once more for today's investigation into what we shall soon discover as being the single most chaotic place to be found across the entire galaxy. If we were to cast our eyes across the near endless expanse of the void, we would be met by the distant lights of the billions of stars, glinting out in the dark, faintly illuminating the countless worlds upon which all manner of dark horrors will be sure to lurk. Yet now, as we find ourselves in the decaying twilight of the 41st millennium, much of that celestial glory has been occluded, and our view of the once vibrant stars has been gradually replaced with a sight far more chaotic and unequivocally evil. The very fabric of reality has been rent and scarred, and through these great wounds in the cosmos leaks the baleful glow of the warp, with those tempestuous storms of chaos gradually becoming the sole vista to illuminate the heavens. It matters not one's creed nor color, whether one is human or alien, as when these warp storms descend and engulf your own stars, then and only then will all find themselves equal in their pure peril. The struggle to survive a warp incursion is universal, yet very rarely will any emerge unscathed, as once the immaterial powers have manifested upon your world, then it is only a matter of time before they worm their way into your very soul. Warp storms now boil across every corner of the galaxy, with some being small enough to only affect a single planet. But above all, there is one which has gained an undeniable level of infamy for its sheer scale and for the wretched abominations which lurk within. This, of course, would be none other than of the Eye of Terror. Stretching out at somewhere between 10 to 20,000 light years in diameter, it is a malign scar upon the segmentum obscurus and has required a constant vigil just to ensure that the forces of chaos do not spill forth en masse, as they have so many times in the past. But in brief, it is a region where the barriers between our plane of reality and of the roiling madness of the warp have blurred, producing a nightmarish realm where demons and immaterial beasts may run amok, forming great empires by channeling forth the richly flowing tides of chaos. In the wake of the Horus heresy, the shattered traitor legions retreated into the Eye, within which they formed their bastions and produced their own warbands to be let loose upon the Imperium, as it grows weaker with each passing day. In recent years, it became one of the anchor points to the Cicatrix Maledictum, the warp rift which has cleaved our galaxy in twain. Yet it still remains as perhaps the largest single warp storm which history will ever record. Nevertheless, with all this in mind, I do believe that today we should explore the ins and outs of the Eye of Terror, starting with a more in-depth overview to the nature of the storm, before moving on to its history, where we will learn of how it came into existence during the fabled war in heaven. After, we will move through to explore the various worlds, landmarks, and finally of the actual heretics who have chosen to make this realm of chaos as their home. But I have spoken enough, and now, my dearest friends, I do believe that it is time for us to begin. Ancient star maps always marked this region with a grim warning of "Abandon all hope, ye who enter here." And in truth, there could be no more fitting epitaph for us to remember as we make our journey into the roiling heart of the Eye of Terror. The Eye of Terror is, in the simplest of terms, a warp storm, though going forward, we need to realize that it is the largest and most notorious in existence. Where most warp storms are transient or localized, the Eye of Terror is actually a permanent fixture to the northwestern reaches of our galaxy, existing as a yawning overlap between the immaterium and of our physical reality. The expected laws of nature hold very little sway in this region, and physics itself is more of a loose idea than of a definitive framework. The reason I say this is that real space and the warp will bleed together within the eye, intertwining like oil and water across an expanse thousands of light years in diameter. It is as though reality itself has been gouged open and the raw essence of chaos has spilled forth, corrupting and transforming every mote of certainty that it comes in contact with. Planets and stars still exist within the eye's boundaries, but they are forever changed and have long been tainted into bizarre and ever more unholy forms. Time itself is distorted, and all relative meaning has been unmoored, with matter, thought, and fundamental energies ceasing to be distinct concepts. Indeed, the very region of the eye is so unrecognizable from our physical realm that we could almost consider it as being its own plane of reality, as the powers of the warp unravel and rewrite the very fabric of time and space. Many uninformed souls falsely believe that the Eye of Terror is the literal domain of the Chaos Gods, as if one could travel there and find Khorne's brass throne or Nurgle's pestilent garden waiting in the immortal flesh. This is not entirely accurate, though is an understandable mistake to make. The true realms of the Dark Gods reside deep within the warp itself, and not within this crossover region of the immaterium and of reality. The Eye of Terror is best seen as a spillover of that infernal dimension into our own, almost like a low-lying sprawl of land which has been flooded by the wave of a great tsunami. Though yes, the land may be submerged and irrevocably changed by the incursion of the sea, but it is not the sea itself. In the eye, the ocean of chaos has overwhelmed a segment of our galaxy, drowning it in unreality. The result is a roiling, churning maelstrom of chaotic energy, a place where the veil is so thin that one can take a step from reality and end up in the madness of the warp without needing any heretical device nor forbidden incantation. Any ship or any hapless voyager need only drift near to the eye's murky borders, and they will inadvertently slip out of the material universe and into a nightmare of sheer impossibility. So, what does all this mean for the stars and worlds caught in the eye's grasp? In short, nothing within the Eye of Terror may remain uncorrupted. By my estimates, the eye contains millions of star systems and untold numbers of planets, all once part of the fertile galaxy, but now saturated to their cores with the corruptive essence of chaos. The very stars themselves are said to weep with immaterial energies, their light shining with sickly colors never before seen in a healthy sun. As we move through the eye, we might see a star burning with an impossibly violaceous glow, twinned in a binary orbit, with one bleeding out a trail of crimson fumes, slowly being devoured by its companion as they circle ever closer towards oblivion. The ancient planets, illuminated beneath the baleful half-light of their corrupted stars, will themselves have been twisted and transformed, becoming what are now known as demon worlds. These are planets that have been warped and reshaped by chaos to such a degree that they no longer resemble their former selves to any capacity beyond remaining as a celestial object. Some are ruled openly by demon princes who bend the landscape to reflect their own vile whims, while others are feral hellscapes, ruled by nothing but the lawless and abject madness of this immaterial realm. The soil, the seas, and the very air of these worlds have been poisoned by the unreality of the warp. Mountains will bleed boiling torrents of blood, rivers rise up and dance as though they were alive, and the air itself will contort, birthing forth a legion of transient demons, alive for only a single moment before exploding in a burst of lightning, returning to the madness once more. Imperial cartographers and other observers, when looking upon the eye from afar, disdainfully record it as an ugly smear of color and unstructured chaos. Some say it is like a spectacular nebula, appearing as an almost beautiful vista of flickering amethyst, ever shifting and ever swirling in on itself like a whirlpool, beckoning one to enter and to feel the shimmering currents against one's skin. These people, of course, have gazed into the storm long enough for it to gaze back, and they have unknowingly tasted in the sweet temptations of chaos, a crime which warrants only one possible sentence: death. I mentioned that time itself may unravel when you travel within the eye, and in truth, it is impossible to predict just how time will behave for you if you ever enter into that infernal maelstrom. It might slow to a crawl, or race forward in a blur, with concurrent timelines crashing into one another as you see yourself taking several possible actions, each more heinous and diabolical than the last. Physical distances are also incredibly inconsistent. You might glimpse a tiny planet in the far-off void, but then, after a single blink, it will loom over the skyline, casting you beneath its oppressive shadow. You may think you are holding a weapon in your hand, only to look down and see that your fingers have fused with the ground, and that you yourself have now become a part of the very hellscape to which you sought to explore. Despite what one may think, this realm is not entirely devoid of purpose, nor of life. And in fact, the Eye of Terror has actually become the single greatest haven and staging ground for the forces of chaos in the galaxy. For those who have turned their backs upon the Emperor's light, or earned the undying hatred of the Imperium, then the Eye may exist as one of the only sources of refuge to be found across the stars. Of course, demons also frolic in this maddening maelstrom, since the permanent warp storm will allow them to easily anchor themselves into the realm of corrupted reality. Chaos Space Marines and traitorous armies have also staked their claims upon a myriad of different worlds, building nightmarish fortresses and profane temples to the dark powers. Entire human civilizations, horribly degenerated and corrupt, will eke out a pained existence upon the demon worlds as they seek to evade the ravenous eyes of the prowling demons. The farther one ventures towards the eye's center, the more intense and bizarre the surrounding conditions will become. The outermost edges of the eye are already lethally maddening, but deeper in lies a realm of inescapable insanity. Near the very core of the warp storm, reality has been completely supplanted by the immaterium, and in fact, at the eye's heart, we will find a gaping reach which is formed of pure chaos, and this region is known as the Byssos. To be quite clear, this is not a place where the warp and reality overlap, and rather, It is one of the only known places in the galaxy where reality has been entirely swept away, leaving only the pure energies of the warp in its place. It is perhaps the closest thing we have thus far discovered to a direct portal to the realm of the chaos gods. But it is known to eternally spew out a wave of raw immaterial power, almost as if it was a singularity of chaos itself. Maybe this was the ground zero to the Old One's doomsday weapon, launched during the war in heaven. Maybe instead it is the still gaping birth canal of Slaanesh. Maybe it is the source to all of the chaos in the galaxy, rapidly gushing out like the head of a great river. We truly cannot say, as none will ever be able to study it in great detail, without immediately succumbing to madness. But now that we understand a little more about what the Eye is, it brings us nicely to our next topic, where we must ask ourselves as to how the Eye of Terror actually came into being. The Eye of Terror, though now a permanent landmark within our galaxy, has not always existed as a chaotic blotch upon the void. For us, it may indeed loom down, but we must realize that there was in fact a time when this region of space was actually rather unremarkable and was entirely free from the malign taint of the warp. It may be something of a misconception that the Eye has existed since time immemorial, or that it is some naturally occurring cosmic phenomenon like a nebula. In truth, however, the Eye of Terror was created, and it is a scar left upon the galaxy from an ancient wound, inflicted during a truly bygone age. To trace its origins, we must journey back over 60 million years in the past, to a near mythic era, when the Necrons still walked as beings of flesh, and when the cosmos was embroiled in a conflict known as the War in Heaven. According to the most esoteric of Xenos lore, this cataclysmic war was fought between the psychic Old Ones and the Necrontyr, who were pitted against one another in a battle to seize total dominion over the galaxy. The actual chronology of this conflict has been blurred over time, but we do know that at some point the Necrontyr shed their biological flesh and ascended as the cybernetic Necrons, a decision which damned their species to an existence bereft of a mortal soul. Nevertheless, the two rival factions were each at their technological zenith, capable of levying weapons and powers that defied all logical comprehension. The Old Ones, masters of the warp gates and cosmic engineering, are believed to have deployed what may have been the most destructive weapon ever launched in galactic history in their desperate attempt at halting the Necron advance. This doomsday attack tore reality asunder and carved a gaping wound in real space, exposing the immaterial dimension of the warp to our material plane for the first time ever. We do not know the true rationale behind launching this strike. Perhaps it was meant to unleash warp-spawned entities against their foes, but perhaps the rift was entirely unintentional. Maybe the wound in reality was just an accidental side effect of the psychic upheaval caused by the unparalleled powers launched by the Old Ones' psionics. We must also remember that it was around this time that the Old Ones accelerated the growth of the psychic Eldari, and thus the creation of a psychic species might have sent a wave through the warp, which crashed against reality, finally exposing the two dimensions at this single point. But whatever the cause, the immaterial rift had opened in the material plane, and though it did not yet have a name, in time this nascent storm would be known as the Eye of Terror. If opened intentionally, then the Old One's ploy clearly failed, as they went on to lose the war in heaven, vanishing from our galaxy as the Necrons were left to rule supreme. But as the dynasties moved to purge the stars of the Catan, they also turned their attentions to the storm and rapidly moved to close it by establishing a series of pylons built out of blackstone, which is a material that can nullify the energies of the warp. Thus, the young eye was bound shut, though the Necrons soon retreated into their tomb worlds, leaving the galaxy to then be colonized by the surviving Eldari. Over the following age, the Eldari apogee was achieved, and their kind were able to bask in the glory of their ascendant civilization, needing not work nor labor beneath the midday's scorching sun. Yet from this lack of effort came decadence and debauchery. Unknowingly, the indulgent energies of their deeds were coalescing within the warp, first manifesting as a mote of ecstasy, which itself blossomed into an entity of unimaginable power. And so it was that during the 30th millennium, that Slaanesh, god of chaos, and prince of pleasure was born. And from their birth came the death of the Eldari Empire. The shockwave of Slaanesh's birth was so vast that it tore at the seams of creation, and the long-healed scar of the ancient rift was ripped open once more. In an instant, the Empyrean exploded through, puncturing the material plane once more, and the ancient Eye of Terror opened for the first time since that bygone age, staring out into a galaxy ignorant to the true dangers of the Chaos Gods. In the aftermath of the catastrophe, the galaxy was forever changed. The Eldari species was shattered and their empire destroyed. The newborn Slaanesh carved out their own realm within the warp, and in the material realm, there now yawned a zone of utter chaos, a storm that would never cease, a region that would soon become a haven for all that lusted after the gifts of the ruinous powers. In time, the fledgling empire of mankind would discover the storm, which they initially named in early star charts as Cygnus X1, thinking it as perhaps a distant cluster of black holes producing strange and anomalous readings in their sensory probes. But it wasn't until the days of the Great Crusade that humanity first realized what it truly was, as an open maw containing the vast powers of a dimension far beyond our own. Legends say that it was Perturabo, Primarch of the Iron Warriors, who first named this storm as the Eye of Terror. And in truth, the name was most fitting, as this was indeed a baleful eye open to the void, glaring out with chaos unrestrained. But as the Horus Heresy came and went, the shattered traitor legions, left with no place to find refuge, retreated into that roiling maelstrom, with each warband claiming their own demonic worlds to become their new home. The Imperium, of course, could not ignore such a threat. The heresy had exposed the true dangers of chaos, and now that the Eye had been claimed as a heretical bastion, it simply had to be contained by any means necessary. Thus, the planet of Cadia, found on the outskirts of the Eye, was transformed into a fortress world, with the surrounding region to be built up into the so-called Cadian Gate. The Imperials here were to repel any chaotic raids from the Eye, lest they violate the sanctity of the Imperium, a task which they performed admirably, despite being forced to contend with the many Black Crusades of Abaddon. Yet, the Despoiler launched his 13th Black Crusade during the closing years of the 41st millennium, and during the conflict, he crashed a Blackstone fortress into the planet's surface, finally cracking and destroying Cadia for good. Following its destruction, the Eye of Terror shuddered and vomited forth the Great Rift, which carved our galaxy in twain, separating the Imperium into two halves, one illuminated by the Astronomicon upon Terra, and one cloaked in the darkness of the Void. But nevertheless, this now brings us to the current day, where the Eye is larger than it has ever been, and where the dangers within are more than willing to emerge en masse, to carve apart the galaxy and to spill blood, all in the name of the Dark Gods. Now that we understand its history a little more, we should turn our attention to the daunting task of describing the Eye in its current state. How does one even begin to map a realm of pure insanity, a place of paradoxical madness? To speak of mapping, the Eye of Terror is truly an exercise in futility, and yet map it we must, if only to convey some notion of its ever-shifting structure and to give some context to the lives of those who dwell within. To be very clear, the geography of the Eye is in a constant state of flux and is truly impossible to pin down. Anyone who attempts to sell you an accurate map of the Eye is a charlatan, for there can be no guarantees as to where any landmark or world is to reside, even if one has just seen it with their own eyes. Unlike a normal region of space where stars and planets follow predictable orbits, the Eye's contents drift and change along the capricious tides of the Immaterium. Nevertheless, there are certain consistent features and zones we can describe if we view the Eye in layers, like an onion, as some would say, from the outside in. Approaching the Eye of Terror, one first encounters an expanding halo of anomalous activity long before reaching the storm in all of its true glory. For thousands of light years around the Eye, the influence of chaos will be clear to see, as in fact the Inquisition has revealed that chaotic cults and generally disturbing activities are far more likely to occur within Segmentum Obscurus than of anywhere else across the galaxy. As a ship ventures closer, strange phenomena will begin to plague the unsettled crew. Navigational readings fluctuate wildly as the Eye has stained this region of reality, causing ghostly apparitions to manifest, recorded by sensory equipment as anomalous horrors, screaming out echoes of an end soon to come. Some crew have reported compasses spinning uselessly or hearing the very bulkhead of their great crafts to groan and shudder as they feel themselves being tugged from beyond our own dimension. Indeed, prudent Imperial admirals will avoid the Eye's vicinity by a wide berth, unless, of course, their voyage is absolutely necessary. Ships veering too close may find themselves suddenly thrown off course or sucked into a turbulent stream, redirecting their vessel and sending them hurtling towards the Eye and to their certain doom. There are even rare tales of ships nearing the Eye being caught in temporal whirlpools, which are eddies of time itself, trapping the vessel in a localized rift from which escape is simply impossible. Some crews have encountered regions of space where time runs in strange loops or becomes sticky, with individual moments suddenly stretching out into brief eternities, only to snap back, with the temporal recoil causing them to age many years over the following few seconds. But as we move closer in, we will find that the Eye's immediate perimeter is occluded by a tumultuous wall of warp storms, which seem to demark a clear boundary between the tainted and untainted space. This barrier is not uniform in any way, and the tempests vary in size and scale, resulting in some areas being impenetrably dense and others being relatively calm, perhaps calm enough to breach and explore. These calmer zones are the entry and exit points to the Eye of Terror, as any vessel would be entirely ripped to shreds if they attempted to pass through the more violent reaches of the barrier. The most stable of these passageways was previously guarded by the Cadian Gate, though we all now know that the planet now drifts as a haze of shattered rock and hard-fought dust. Still, there are many more passageways, but they are all incredibly challenging to navigate, as they each require you to skirt your vessel along the roaring barrier of the edge storms in the hopes of finding the metaphorical harbor in this immaterial storm. Once one does slip past the barrier of the outer storm, whether through a gateway or sheer reckless fortune, then they will have entered into the true hellscape of the Eye of Terror and into a realm where all bets are truly off. Imagine it as a vast ocean of space, where direction is meaningless, where time is simply an irrational idea, and where reality itself holds no obligations to behave in any manner that would prolong your feeble existence. Just as they raged without, so too will warp storms rage within, swirling and colliding, merging with one another in great waves of immaterial energy, crashing down to reorder irreality into some new and ever more twisted form. But there will also be a few rare pockets of eerie calmness, where the currents seem to cancel each other out, creating oases where one may take a brief pause and breathe. From these islands, the visual spectacle of the eye can truly be taken in and appreciated for all of its terrible magnitude. The void might glow with an unnatural twilight, as demonic entities the size of star systems lash out from the background energy, only to fall as crystallized raindrops, dancing and sparkling against the crimson tides. Errant fields of translucent energy might drift through the void, shimmering like auroras on a cosmic scale. In some places, one might encounter what looks like a fathomless hole in reality, only to realize that it is an unbroken tunnel, burrowing down and back to our material galaxy. But looking away from salvation, the stars will blink in and out of existence, reappearing light years away in new constellations, as though shuffled by the unseen hands of fate. A world that was on your port side an hour ago might streak past your bow minutes later, caught and flung along an invisible current, dragging it deeper towards the graveyards of the warp. It becomes harder now to travel deeper, as even if we chart our course to be perfectly straight, we must remember that reality itself is in a constant state of flux, and so we might still end up looping around, emerging in some far-off and doomed reach. Many chaotic shipmasters have long since abandoned any hope at plotting their course through the warp, and rather, they simply surrender their vessels to the currents of the eye, trusting the fates of their warband to the turbulent tides of the immaterium. One fascinating feature reported by explorers of the eye are of the so-called dead zones. These are curious pockets hidden within the storm where the warp currents terminate, spilling their energies into a localized region, almost like a fathomless pool collecting the flow of a towering waterfall. These places are truly stagnant, with the roiling momentums of the warp coming to their halt, leaving whatever was caught to be marooned in an inescapable reach of sheer emptiness. These dead zones often become graveyards to ghost ships and space hulks, carried for millennia upon the warp currents, only to be vomited out into this abyssal pocket, never to be retrieved and never to be explored. But as we move past these infernal reaches, the interior of the eye will only grow more chaotic and more unbearable. Time and space will continue to unravel, and as we journey on our path, we might be caught in a strange riptide, looping us back around, only to catch sight of our own vessel careening off, to be devoured in the jaws of a demonic leviathan. The time shifts are sometimes attributed as the reasons behind the exceedingly long lifespans of the Chaos Marines, as many of the traitor forces were alive to witness the Siege of Terra, which occurred roughly 10,000 years in the past. Some of them, however, will insist that only a few centuries have transpired since the siege, though others will have felt every agonizing moment, thanks to their cursed longevity mixed with the foul energies of the warp. I am confident that the ultimate and most confusing region of this realm to explore would be of the aforementioned Byssos, found at the very heart of the Eye of Terra. This part of the Eye isn't really to be considered as a warp storm, as it is, in fact, the warp itself. There is no overlap, no mixing of dimensions, as this is a region of the pure, unbridled chaos of the Immaterium, where the four gods do battle over their great game, where demons muster their immortal strength, and where all souls go to die. I could call it a singularity of chaos, yet it seems to grow, spilling out more and more of the internal energies to corrupt and transform our material universe into something more akin to the dark realms of the gods. The warp pours from it like blood from a beating heart, and in truth, no mortal explorer has ever passed over the boundary into the Byssos and survived to tell of their tale. Some esoteric texts describe it as a roaring wellspring of multicolored light, or as a pit of abyssal darkness, pulsing and radiating with a feeling of unbridled doom. Yet, in spite of the madness, the Eye of Terra does not only harbor an ocean of untamed and unbound energy. Despite the challenges in mapping out the Eye, and despite my claim that only a charlatan would shill you their maps, we have encountered a series of landmarks which we should certainly visit before bringing our journey to a close. Even within the swirling insanity of the Eye, certain places do in fact stand out as landmarks, which to us might be quite interesting to explore. Charting their exact location is futile, but we can easily describe their nature and of their significance to the landscape of the warp. Before we embark on this guided tour, let it be known that attempting to actually visit any of these attractions without the protection of a Geller field would almost certainly lead you towards a fate worse than death. But still, there are some thrills that are more than worth the risk. As I mentioned, most planets within the Eye are now demon worlds, meaning that they have been corrupted and transformed by the energies of chaos, mutating them into disgusting new forms, all to the whims of the demon who now calls himself as Lord to this realm. But as we approach one such planet, from the outside it will initially appear invisible, for it has been shrouded by the immaterial phenomenon of the curtains of Slaanesh. Suspended in the void, these are a colossal, diaphanous pair of curtains, formed of a shimmering field of impossible color, billowing gently as they are caught on the winds of the warp. But suddenly, the shrouded region is exposed, as though the hands of a billion ghosts reached out, parting the ethereal veil, revealing a series of debauched worlds within, ruled over by the scions of Slaanesh, who seek pleasure and ecstasy above all else. Avoiding their tantalizingly rousing siren song, we chart our vessel onwards, only to be met with a far more fetid vista, discovering a great swathe of the eye where space itself seems to be drowning in a pestilent bog of filth. Dense, suppurating fogs roll in, swirling in greenish browns, swallowing up entire planets, dragging them downwards into the festering quagmires of Nurgle's celestial swamp. Legends say that in such sickening regions that we will find the legendary Plague Planet. This world, once known to the Eldari as Eliathada, was claimed by the fallen Primarch Mortarion, who reshaped the Garden Planet into a veritable locus of malignance, and it is now the home to the pestilent Death Guard, who rot and fester beneath rancid skies and mouldering clouds. Cleansing our senses and moving swiftly on, we will see the constellations shift once again, with clusters of stars rearranging themselves, spelling out our fates should we linger for too long in this accursed hell. But with this talk of destiny, we would be remiss to not visit one of the so-called Crone Worlds. These are the former planets of the Eldari Empire, which have now been entirely corrupted by the demons of the warp, though Slaanesh has paid particular heed to violating their pristine grounds, simply to indulge in the pleasures of destroying an entire civilization. The Crone Worlds, though entirely unrecognizable from their heyday, still harbor a great many treasures from the old empire, including spirit stones and arcane pieces of technology whose methods of production have long been lost. Thus, Eldari outcasts, Harlequins, and Rangers will often set out on daring ventures into the heart of the eye to recover such artifacts, bringing them back to their craft world homes so as to preserve some aspect of their people's fallen history. The most daring of rogue traders are also rumored to plunder the old Crone Worlds, but this is an incredibly dangerous task for a noble Eldari, let alone an apish human, to complete, as the chances of escaping from the depths of the warp with any loot and your soul intact are next to zero. Interestingly, we might find a few ancient webway portals upon the Crone Worlds, but do not be so foolish as to think that they will lead you to anywhere but a hellish grave. The segments of the webway connected by these gates have been severed from the labyrinthine dimension, as they are utterly overrun with demonic beasts, and so they are to be avoided under all circumstances. But traveling onwards, we will encounter many more demonic planets, including Medrengard, world of bitter iron, and home to Perturabo, ascendant demon primarch to the fallen legion of the Iron Warriors. The hell forges stretch out endlessly, churning out weapons and siege engines formed by painfully binding an unwilling demon into the heart of some nightmarish abomination of warp-fashioned steel. For a time, we would have been able to find Sortarius, the planet of sorcerers and homeworld to Magnus and his thousand sons. In recent years, however, the servants of Tzeentch were able to channel a great ritual which transported the demon world back into real space, positioning it first within the system of Fenris, and then later within the orbit of the Prospero system. The word bearers, who arguably sparked the Horus heresy and therefore the downfall of all mankind, have also claimed their own home within the Eye, being of a world known as Sicarus. The planet has been reformed, with great chaotic cathedrals and unholy churches sprouting forth from the blasted ground to kiss the blood-stained heavens as countless slaves toil in the eternal gloom to construct ever more blasphemous monuments in the name of the dark gods. These worlds all boast prodigious populations, climbing into the tens, if not hundreds of millions, though they are mostly made up of slaves and cultists who falsely hope that through their servitude to the Chaos Marines, that they will earn some mote of power. Drakkasi, for instance, is home to a bustling populace who are all devoted to the worship of the blood god Khorne. The land masses are all bordered by a boiling sea of blood, but upon the continents, every denizen will at some point take part in the brutal gladiatorial games, which honor the martial might of their patron god. Interestingly, one of these continents is home to a colossal crystal, which resonates out with booming songs dedicated to the glorious art of war. In any case, the various Chaos Marines, heretics, beastmen, demons, and Amazonian huntresses will participate in Khorne's great colosseums by battling one another in honorable duels or chaotic brawls just to get the blood flowing and the skulls cracking. If we were to move back towards the border of the Eye, we would find a rather curious demon world known as Sublime, which acts as something of a neutral port within this realm of nightmares. The entire planet is frozen in a temporal anomaly, preserving it in the moment of its total destruction by an errant warp storm, though this suspended fate has not prevented it from being colonized and settled by the renegades and heretics of the galaxy. Quite strangely, this planet has become known far and wide as being a safe haven for pirates, scoundrels, and other such miscreants, who are opposed to the general law and order of the galaxy, yet have not sold their souls to the darker powers found deeper within the Eye. Stretching across two entire continents, we will find the sprawling markets of the Black Golan, where iniquitous dastards from every species will barter and trade for ancient relics and forbidden weapons, often dredged up from the depths of the warp. Legends say that the fabled cold traders of the Imperium will sometimes visit the markets upon Sublime, hoping to purchase some esoteric treasure which will later be hawked off to an arrogant Imperial noble for 50 times the asking price. An Astartes of the Emperor's children, known as Mordrak, is the castellan of this realm. So to be clear, it is not to be seen as a world free from the taint of chaos. Nevertheless, it is quite interesting that there is a semi-peaceful trading post to be found within the Eye of Terror. And so now, I think it would be prudent to begin the final part of our tour by investigating the lives of those who call this warp-stained region as their home. Surviving, let alone thriving, within the Eye of Terror is a near impossible challenge, yet we have thus far learnt that there are a myriad of diverse worlds, containing an equally diverse populace of demons, traitors, mutants, and aliens who seem to have found a way to avoid utter annihilation. It's really quite astounding that there are any who can call the Eye as their home, but we should be quite clear that the inhabitants can be broadly split between those who are mortal and immortal. The demons, of course, are made up of the very energies of the warp itself, and so life within the Eye is truly second nature to them, with the Neverborn being able to reshape unreality into whatever form they so desire. For the mortals, however, this power is not so easily gained. Some of their kind will have been dragged into the warp, kicking and screaming in the bowels of a slaver vessel, but others will have willingly made the perilous journey to carve out their name in the violent history of the eye. But returning to the demons, we should acknowledge that in many ways, the eye is almost akin to a paradise of sorts. Normally, in real space, a demon's presence is tenuous and temporary, as it must be summoned or find some way to slip through the cracks of our dimension. But even then, it will eventually find its powers to dissipate, and in time, it will be banished back into the chaos of the warp. But inside the eye, the barriers between realities have become so intermixed that the demons can roam freely and indefinitely. Many powerful demons have claimed entire worlds as their own personal domains, as it is the easiest way for them to forge their own hellish empire outside of the ever-shifting madness of the true warp. But here, they can anchor themselves in quasi-reality and play at being gods and kings in a way which is not easily attained when in the wider and safer reaches of the galaxy. A bloodthirster might rearrange a world into an eternal battleground, and in fact, Khorne himself was known to have done this for one planet, when it was invaded by the orc war boss known as Tusker, the Demon Killer. Each day, the boys rise to fight against Khorne's greatest champions, with the greenskins destined to be slaughtered to the last, but with every new dawn, they rise from death, fighting on in an eternal battle, fought between demon and orc. But out in the wider eye, the demons still squabble with one another, vying for power, hoping to expand their own hellish fiefdoms to include just one extra system or one extra world, even if they might blink out of existence at a moment's notice. The four gods will often turn their attentions to the eye, as it is a rich source of emotion and strife. What with all the suffering and violent battling, constantly churning immaterial reality into a whirlpool of utter chaos. Yet, with that said, it is the mortal inhabitants of the eye that are in many ways more intriguing. For they are like us, beings of material flesh and blood, yet are able to persist in a realm that is fundamentally hostile to all forms of life. The primary mortal powers in the Eye of Terror are the Chaos Space Marines, made up of the remnants of the shattered traitor legions who turned against the Imperium during the calamitous days of the Horus Heresy. These are the veterans of the Long War, some of whom are known to have fought upon Terra itself during its climactic siege, but all are pledged towards bringing about the downfall of the Imperium and the destruction of the false Emperor. Some of their kind have stuck with their parental legion, but many aspirant lords have gone on to form their own war bands, recruiting other Astartes who have grown tired of waiting for their demonic Primarch to shake off their deep-rooted issues and to set back out into the galaxy. A warlord will typically carve out their own corner of the eye, then act as its feudal king, ruling from some kind of corrupted fortress or tainted bastion. Here, they will command over their host of Astartes warriors, traitorous cultists, and hordes of mutants, ever preparing new raids into real space or treacherous attacks on rival lords within the eye. They know that attaining infamy in the eyes of the gods may earn them the rare glory of demonhood, whereas failure can result in unspeakable punishments, such as by being painfully mutated into a mindless spawn. Thus, the war bands will never remain idle, and it is quite common for stagnant warlords to be overthrown by upstart champions who believe that now is the time for a new warrior to ascend to this transient throne. Remarkably, there are many unaltered humans who have actually chosen to live within the eye, traveling into its swell on their own volition. Now, why would anyone do such a foolish thing? Well, the answer lies in the perverse form of freedom offered up by the eye. In the Imperium, life is strict, controlled, oppressive, and incredibly harsh, especially so if you possess any form of mutation or psychic gift. You will be expected to live and die for the service of all mankind, and Throne forbid you to ever step out of line, even once in your miserable existence, lest you tempt the ire of the merciless Inquisition. In the eye, by contrast, the only law to exist is one of personal power. If you are strong, cunning, or perhaps just lucky, then you may reshape reality itself to better serve your will. A charismatic human might be able to act as a false prophet, mustering a host of expectant servants, only to offer them up as a gift to the dark gods, earning them a shred of immaterial strength for all the effort. This can then be used to endow themselves with the forbidden powers of chaos, or to reshape reality itself into a fortress, or perhaps even to be offered as a gift to an infamous chaos lord, earning them a coveted position within an established warband. Of course, this is all quite unlikely to occur. For the average mortal, one's life within the eye can be comically short, as most humans are simply too weak to survive the unbridled chaos of the warp unaided. They will quickly succumb to mutation, insanity, or just become prey to the ravenous demons of the warp, who will not hesitate to manifest within your very body just to snatch out and devour your succulent soul. But those who cling together or grovel at the feet of the more powerful patrons may be able to meek out a pathetic existence for just long enough to establish a life within the eye. We will find a surprising number of human settlements scattered throughout the eye, but these are not idyllic oases of order by any measure. They are more akin to desperate outposts or crumbling bastions, fortified as best as possible, yet ever sinking into the maddening depths of the warp. Their kind will, of course, revere the chaos gods, but it is rare for them to garner any substantial form of favor. And so, they must prolong their existence by sacrificing hordes of mortals, or by hiding behind the fading Geller fields of their ancient vessels. The eye is also crawling with mutants, and I'm sure you've noticed that I've mentioned the monstrous creatures known as the Beastmen. These are vile abhumans, born as a mutated mix of human and animal DNA, sporting cloven hooves, long matted fur, and dense horns sprouting through a thick and ragged mane. It is important to note that the Beastmen are actually permitted to live within the Imperium, though they face a heavy degree of discrimination due to their inherent mutations, and so are often forced to work as slave laborers, or to fight and die in units of meat shields. Thus, it is no wonder that most of their kind will eventually flee from Imperial rule, often seeking refuge within the eye, where they form great packs, serving the dark gods who look down upon the mutants with favor rather than disdain. There are countless worlds within the eye that are inhabited by a vast array of mortal species, many of them being free from the direct rule of the traitor legions. Imagine for a moment lost frontier worlds controlled by primitive mutant tribes who fend off demonic incursions each night so as to earn the freedom of the morning sun. In other systems, The flames of a heavily industrialized hellforge will be stoked by the sacrifice of a million souls, so as to endlessly churn out a constant stream of corrupted weapons destined to be used by the warbands of chaos. Abandoned crone worlds, forgotten for a fathomless age, might only be visited briefly by a cabal of the Drukhari, collecting up the treasures from their old empire, to be gifted to an Archon as a sign of great honor. But in general, when we think of who lives within the eye, we must realize that it is only the lost and the damned. Over time, nothing within the eye may remain the same. All will be corrupted, and there can be no hope for you to carve out a permanent existence, as to submerse yourself within the flowing currents of the warp is to invite it to claim your pathetic mind, your feeble body, and your ever so delectable soul. Truly, the Eye of Terror is a realm like no other. It is an abominable place, a true hellscape in every definition of the word, and from our journey, I do hope that it has become clear as to why the Eye should be considered as the most dangerous and most infamous of warp storms ever to rage across our galaxy. It is the home to innumerable demons and unimaginable horrors who would gleefully tear us limb from limb for no reason other than to experience the diabolical delights of unrestrained cruelty. No matter your species nor your allegiance, if you are of the material realm, then the Eye of Terror will exist as an inherent danger to you, and it will show you no mercies, not even if you claim your loyalties as belonging to the darker powers. Not even Cadia, greatest of imperial bastions, could withstand the forces held within. And if the planet itself was forced to break, then what hope could you possibly have of somehow surviving in this eternal plane of hell? But with this, my dearest friends, I do believe that we have now come to our end. Thank you all so much for listening to this tour through the nightmare of the Eye of Terror, and I do hope that you enjoyed our little stint in the warp. But for now, as has become our habit, I must close this chapter once more and leave you for another week, and so I shall wish each and every one of you with a very warm goodbye.